They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Think again, automakers.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. If GM and Ford were hoping for a financial bailout from the government, it probably won't happen on this president's watch. In an interview with the Wall Street Journal, President Bush says the carmaker's future should be left to the market. That future includes 60,000 job cuts between the two companies and possibly bankruptcy at some point for one or both. Bush says his administration has talked with Ford and GM about new fuel technologies, and he offered this thorny piece of advice: make a product that's relevant. Ouch. Here are some companies that get it when it comes to the environment. Whole Foods, Johnson & Johnson, Starbucks. They're all on the EPA's top 25 list of green power users. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Alex Cohen reports.
According to EPA, its so-called green power partners purchased 4 million megawatt hours of renewable energy last year. That's a twofold increase since 2004. Renewable sources like wind, solar rays, and underground heat can cost up to twice as much as conventional energy, but companies opting for alternative sources say they pay the extra cost out of concern for the environment. In some cases, it's also good business. Ben Packard of Starbucks says global warming and its effect on coffee crops prompted his company to embrace wind power for one-fifth of its energy needs.
It is an increased cost, but when we look at the overall impact of climate change and our opportunity to do something about it, investing in renewables is a natural place for us to act.
Analysts say green power is also a good way to generate favorable PR among consumers. I'm Alex Cohen for Marketplace.
Google launched its new China website yesterday. The search engine agreed to censor results, according to the Chinese government's wishes. That doesn't sit well with New Jersey Republican Chris Smith. He's calling for a congressional hearing next month on Google's move. On Google.cn, you won't find sites related to things like the Tiananmen Square Massacre, Tibetan Freedom Movement, or Falun Gong. You can't Google or email when you're high above the earth in an airplane. Well, not yet. The FCC has a plan that could soon have us using sky-high Wi-Fi. Jason Parr reports.
The FCC this week announced plans to sell new ground-based airwave frequencies that can be used to provide internet access to air travelers. Think hotel-style Wi-Fi at 30,000 feet. Aircraft maker Boeing is already piloting a satellite-based Wi-Fi system called Connection on some international flights. Air industry analyst Richard Abelofia says access to the web is a nice perk for high-end long-haul passengers.
But when it comes to domestic travel, that resembles bus travel with wings more than ever, and it's unlikely that something like Connection would have a real impact on the U.S. domestic market.
Part of the reason for that could be the estimated $15 price tag for in-flight internet service. The FCC will put the frequencies on the sales block in May. I'm Jason Parr for Marketplace.
I think investors are still punch drunk from last Friday's beating. The markets are at a standstill. The Dow dropped a couple points to 10,709. The S&P 500 index was also down 2 to 1264. The NASDAQ lost 4 points, and bond prices fell. You're listening to Marketplace. Airports have always been the most popular places to rent cars. Now car rental firms are making more money at their neighborhood locations. Brian Watt explains why.
In 1991, car rentals were a $10.5 billion industry. Airport locations brought in roughly 80% of the profits. Now, according to Auto Rental News, the industry is worth more than $17 billion, and neighborhood outlets have now trumped airport outlets, accounting for more than half the take. Pat Farrell, vice president at Enterprise Rent-A-Car, says his company has had to keep up with the change.
We've opened 5,200 branches in the local community, and we've added, on average, 38,000 cars per year to our fleet.
Car owners now rent vehicles for special trips, and businesses often find it cheaper to rent cars for their employees rather than reimburse them for miles traveled in their own cars. I'm Brian Watt for Marketplace.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By Medtronic. Alleviating pain. Restoring health. Extending life. Medtronic. On the web at Medtronic.com. And by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. The Spanish-American War needs your help. You know, Teddy Roosevelt and the Rough Riders. Just pick up your cell phone and make a call. Seriously, that federal excise tax on your phone bill, it dates back to 1898. We're still paying it to the tune of $6 billion a year. That's how much the whole war cost, adjusted for inflation. So, Chris Farrell, why is this still on the books?
In many, many cases, when you have these small, annoying, tiny taxes, I mean, it's only 3%, right? That's what the tax is. And it's on your phone bill. And I don't know if you look at your phone bill, but you know, you got to this, you got to that, you got to this. The industry doesn't like it. Congress doesn't like it. Consumer groups, they don't like it. And, you know, here's a tax where the original purpose was to raise money for a very specific reason. And today, it just continues on there.
Well, Chris, obviously, this money is not going to pay for the Spanish-American War at this point. So where is that money going?
It's going, it's used for a number of purposes. Sometimes some of it is to help out with, you know, the telephone service, some very good things in terms of universal service and helping out in rural areas. But then it also just basically disappears into the maw of the federal government. But it continues to exist, regardless, by the way, of income, which means that it's a very regressive tax because it hits the poorer consumers the hardest.
But you think that 2006 is the magic year for getting rid of this tax that was imposed in 1898?
I do. There was a flurry of interest in the summer of 2005. There's now been a lawsuit filed. There seems to be Congressman Schumer is aware of it. Congress is going to be under pressure to do something. I think this actually may be something very simple for Congress to do, to say, you know, we move a little slowly sometimes, but we do the right thing.
This brings up another issue, which is when you look at your phone bill, there are lots of these little taxes that all add up, and half the phone bill seems like it's taxes. Is there a movement afoot to simplify the phone bill?
Well, there's a movement among consumers and consumer groups, and industry would also like it in many respects to just make it simpler. I mean, what consumers want and what they've been putting pressure on Congress is, at the minimum, to include these various fees and taxes into what companies can advertise. So when they say to you, Scott, $29.99 plan, it's the cheapest nationwide, you get so many hours for this, what you want to be able to say is that $29.99, including taxes, fees, and everything else that's larded on there. And of course, as you know, it isn't. So there is pressure to do that. And frankly, I think that this kind of fee that we're talking about just sort of makes the case. At least consumers should have been more aware that they were paying a 3% 1898 tax.
Chris Farrell is economics editor for our weekend program, Marketplace Money. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
A rent control.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.